Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath as well. And most importantly, you at 414-799-1250. Also at 105.7 FM, The Fan. As we continue to look at this Packers-Lions game tonight, it would put whoever wins this game atop the NFC North. We are joined now on the line by Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. You can hear him on the podcast, The GM Shuffle, available where we're available. Radio.com or wherever you get your podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Michael Lombardi back to the show on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hi, Michael.
I am great. Thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. We're looking forward to this game. Are these the two best teams of the NFC North, you think, Green Bay and Detroit?
You know, I don't think that. Detroit's an interesting team. I think Detroit's done a really good job of playing complementary football. They haven't lost any games in terms of how they play. They've done a good job of attacking their opponent. Games are always close with them. I mean, the Charger game, you know, typical for the Chargers. They let that one slip away. They could have won the Chiefs game, so they're back and forth. I think Minnesota's a better team than Detroit. I think Detroit is probably the third best team in the North.
We'll find out. I mean, they can be the number one best team in terms of the record, at least, if they take on the Packers, who have looked very good at 4-1. They tripped up against the Eagles, but there was a big win down in Dallas. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, the defense, Mike Pettine, the guys they brought in, the new head coach, Matt LaFleur. Of this 4-1 start, Michael, how much do you attribute the success to what Matt LaFleur's been able to do?
Well, I think defensively, I think it's an organizational success. I think getting the Smith brothers, and I know they're not brothers, Preston and Zadarius, I mean, that gives them some huge effect on defense. And they've only turned the ball over four times on offense all year, which is critical. And the games that they, in the Philadelphia game that they lost, and they've created 11 turnovers. So, you know, that just in itself is really huge. And the fact that they're able to find their identity defensively and get off the field and create plays for the defense, I think is remarkable. And then when they run the ball, like they did against Minnesota, they had a .144. When they run the ball like they did against Dallas, they had a .120. It makes life a lot easier. And I think Aaron Jones, one of the top five running backs in the league. I always did. When he came out at UTEP, I said on my podcast, the GM Shuffle, I said, this guy's going to be a steal in the fifth round for them. Only because if you watched him as a sophomore, he was dynamic. He had the injury as a junior, which he's kind of come back off of with a knee. But I think it's a little bit of a group effort. And I don't even think Rodgers has played his best football yet.
You know, the only thing about Aaron Jones, and when the guy's out there, he makes plays. I mean, there's some games he's had. He's had a couple of rough games this year, but he's had two really, really good ones. The problem is, you know, I think to be a top five running back, he needs to be on the field more and play. And I feel like they really limit his touches because of the injury history.
You know, I definitely agree with that. I think durability is certainly the concern. That's the only concern I have with him. You know, I mean, and look, he's got to stay there and he's got to stay healthy. You know, and I think that's the key. And, you know, but when he's healthy and he's going, man, he's really good.
Talking with Michael Lombardi again, the podcast, the GM Shuffle, one of our radio.com NFL insiders, M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter. A couple of things that worried us Packer people about the game in Dallas that are still worrying us tonight, because I don't know how much has changed. You've got the run defense that has not been great in Green Bay. And then you've got the fact that Davante Adams is going to be out again, and you're going to need some of these other receivers to step up. What of those two things, run defense and no Davante, what do you think is going to be a bigger hurdle for the Packers against this Lions team tonight?
Well, I think they got to play really good in the running game. I mean, look, their run defense is going to be hit or miss all year. I mean, they gave up 176 to Philly. They gave up 150, almost 150 to Denver. You know, Minnesota had a .198 against them running the football. I mean, that's going to be problematic. But I think the run defense has to be allowed to the turnovers, right? When you get 11 turnovers and you allow the other team to run the ball, that's pretty good on your case. And the fact that the Packers have only played an average of 28 minutes a game of defense this year, to me, the only way to play great defense in the NFL is to play less defense. The rules are skewed completely against you, and I think that's what they've been able to do. So the turnovers, if the turnovers stop coming, if they stop coming, and it's all related to the pressure on the passer, then we're going to have a real issue with the Packers on defense, and we're going to be questioning about how good they really are. The turnovers are what have saved them. It saved them in Dallas. It saved them. The only game they didn't get a turnover, Philadelphia, and they lost.
See, I always looked at turnovers. I mean, you got to be in the right position at the right time, and it takes a little luck, though, doesn't it, too, to win that turnover war?
Yeah, I mean, look, the first interception Alexander's beat, if Dak puts the ball in a different spot, but a lot of these turnovers are related to pressure, right? So if you can get the quarterback to have to throw quicker than he wants to throw, then you've got a chance to create some turnovers. And I think that's what Pettine's trying to do. He's not worried about the down. He's not worried about how many yards he gives up. He's worried about getting the ball back. I mean, it's the same thing with Seattle. Seattle's done a really good job this year. Their defense, you can move the ball on them defensively. The problem has been, you know, they get those turnovers on you, and all of a sudden you're out of possession. You can't get back in, and then their offense is able to cash in on them, and it really makes a huge difference. So, look, the Lions know this going in. The Lions will be conservative. That's the one thing about the Lions. The Lions are going to play a style tonight. They're not going to try to expose their tackles. They're not going to try. They're going to try to play the pace of this game. And the key is going to be the Packers have to start fast. If they force the Lions to play from behind and make this a complete passing game, a drop-back pass game, and put the pressure on the Lions' offensive line to protect and Stafford to have to make tight window throws, they win the game. If this game stays balanced, it'll be a close game like most Lions games are.
Yeah, if the Packers putting on they got the pass rush going, and they've done a nice job getting the quarterbacks, not even necessarily sacking quarterbacks, but getting the quarterbacks, hitting them, taking them off their mark. If they do that to Stafford tonight, it might be a long night for the Lions.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the key. Sacks are overrated. Sacks are a result of something that happened. Pressures are a result of the defense making the offense into doing something they don't want to do faster than they want to do it. That's the key to football, is pressure. The more times you can hit the quarterback, the more times you can pressure him, the more times the ball has to come out an eighth of a second too soon, the defense gains an advantage. A sack oftentimes is the result of something that happened. The offense missed a protection or did something wrong. Typically, you can avoid sacks even if bad as your offensive line. What you can't avoid are hurries. And when a quarterback sees a guy coming at his face, he's got to get rid of the football.
Talking with Michael Lombardi, one of our Radio.com NFL insiders. Also, you have a piece up at The Athletic that you put before the week, and I just wanted to get your thoughts now that we've seen what we saw yesterday in terms of where the NFC might rank out playoff-wise come the end of the season. You said you love San Francisco, and that was before they won. You had them at the top. Philadelphia, New Orleans, you had Green Bay at 4, Seattle, and then Dallas at 6. Did anything radically change for you after watching some of the games yesterday about where you rank these teams in the NFC?
I'm not going to go down the Dallas road. I think, you know, the one thing that Dallas that drives me crazy is at some point your head coach has to participate in the game, right? There's got to be a reason why he's the head coach. He's making $7 million a year. And I never get that sense from watching the Cowboys and Jason Garrett, right? If Garrett left at halftime, would anybody miss him? Seriously. I mean, that's to me, and yesterday they go into the game against a really bad Jet team, right? The Jets are not a good team whatsoever, and they can't finish off the game. Why? When you left it, the key is, Al Davis used to say this to me all the time, you got to figure out why you won and why you lost. Why did the Cowboys lose yesterday? Because of every critical game situation they failed in. Third downs in the red zone, third down, a red zone offensive production, red zone defense. Allowing big plays. Everything they failed at comes back to where the head coach is emphasizing on how to win the game. And I think that's why the Cowboys are going to fall. I think the Rams, the Rams to me, they knew Goff wasn't a great player. They knew it. They invented Goff. Sean McVay invented Goff. He made Goff a good player, right? Goff with Jeff Fisher was a disaster. McVay comes in, he makes him a good player because he builds an offense around him, what he can do. And then they turn around and pay him. They turn around and pay him. They invented him, and then they pay him. It might, and I've said this 2 weeks ago, now everybody's agreeing. It's one of the most ridiculous contracts in pro sports. For that guy to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL when he can't win a game alone is really bad.
Speaking of bad contracts, Kirk Cousins, I want to ask you about this Vikings game because Here's what it's like to be a Packer fan. And we're doing the show today, and you know, the Packers are top of the NFC North. So the Vikings win yesterday. I think they overreact about how good they are. And then I'm talking to Vikings fans on Twitter, and they're saying, "Oh, well, we just beat a team that beat you." Well, we beat the Packers beat the Vikings this year. How much do we read into what the Vikings did yesterday? Because it was a nice game from Kirk, but he has those nice games. Noon at home, Kirk Cousins is the MVP. Anything else, he's just not that good. Do you buy them after yesterday?
Well, I think you got to look at the Eagles, right? The Eagles don't have anybody in their secondary that can cover. And I've been saying this for 2 years, right? I said this when they won the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, they had nobody in their back end that could cover. I mean, the Patriots, they just did a great job with their offense of playing complementary. Their defense played about 26 minutes a night back in when they won the Super Bowl. I mean, they had to turn the ball over. It was all about their front. The Eagles are about their defensive front. They can't cover anybody. And if you can block them up front, you're going to make a ton of plays on them because they don't have any matchups across the board, whether it's Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas. It doesn't matter who it is. They can't cover. And I think that was proven yesterday. And I think if the Vikings can play a team, especially with their offensive line at home, where they can create an advantage for their line because of the crowd noise and take advantage of a bad secondary, Kirk Cousins is going to look half decent. Now, they couldn't run the ball yesterday. Madison was their leading rusher. I said before the game on VSiN that Dalvin Cook wouldn't be able to run the ball outside. I thought the Eagles would win the game because I thought they could limit Dalvin Cook. And, again, it bit me in the butt because I realized, which I've been saying all along, is the fact they have no ability to cover. I think the Eagles are all about who they match up to. If they match up to a team that won't exploit them, they'll win. I think the Packers play the Eagles again, they could easily beat them. I think you can't go by – it's all about matchups. It's not about my team's better than your team because you beat who. It's really all about matchups.
Although I think if Green Bay wins this game tonight, not only will they have covered the first half of the interdivision by going 3-0, I think they'll be the best team in the NFC. I think they'll record-wise maybe not, but I think they'll show to me they've been the most impressive through the first part of the season.
I think I'd argue with you. I think San Francisco's been way more impressive. I mean, San Francisco's defensive front, you'd have a hard time blocking that defensive front. That's really a good front. And the way they run the football on offense, with especially with Mike Shanahan, with Kyle Shanahan against Mike Pettine, they know each other really well. I think that would be a harder game. And I think the Saint team, don't underestimate the Saint team. This Saint team's really good. This Saint team's good in the defensive front, and they play great complementary football. And Alvin Kamara is one of the top five players in the league. So I think those two teams are really good. I think the NFC is really, really a lot of good teams in it. And I think this is a huge game on a couple fronts. It's a huge game because of the North and the implications there. But it's also a huge game because any time, and that was the genesis of my column, was the fact that you get an NFC team playing against another NFC team, it magnifies the importance of the game because there's 11 teams that have a chance to make the playoffs in the NFC, and there's only six dance cards. So there's five teams that are going to be Steph watching the dance, and that's what makes all these games even more important.
Talking with Michael Lombardi, we appreciate it. You guys won't have to argue too much. Packers and the Niners do play a little later in the season. As far as the Saints, maybe the Packers see them in the postseason. Michael, we appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Michael Lombardi, you can find him on Twitter again at MLombardiNFL. Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Michael Lombardi. All insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Michael Lombardi, also on the podcast that he alluded to, the GM Shuffle.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.